Some people like listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. And some people like drinking pickle juice. Not all that different when you get right down to it. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
I don't think so.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Well, thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird.
Pleasure.
If you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much for being here. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am indeed Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Please be seated. That's very nice of you, but please, thank you. Thank you very much. No, thank you. Okay, thank you. Please be seated. This is so embarrassing. Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed by your love for me. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would have appreciated if you threw money at me, but whatever. I'll take anything I can get at this point in my life. How are you doing? Good to be with you. Happy Monday to you. I don't know what that means either. Whatever. Fall is upon us. Look at the fall coming. You know what I am going to be doing pretty soon? I'm going to be getting in my car. Not a big deal. It's where I'm going that makes the difference. I'm heading north. I'm heading north to watch the leaves change colors. Isn't that incredible? I know. I'm going to drive north where the leaves are going to be changing colors. Wait a minute, Ron. Aren't leaves supposed to be green? Yes, until they change colors and fall off the trees. Fall, they call it fall because the leaves fall off the trees. I think that's the reason. I'm not too sure. By the way, if you live in Florida, there are no leaves coming off of trees. All you have are palm trees. Good luck with shade. You would figure that in Florida you would need shade, but then they give you palm trees. Oh, man. Same with Las Vegas. Oh, my God. You need some shade up there. You got temperatures like 120 degrees. Well, it's really not that hot because it's a dry heat. Oh, okay, fine. So if I stick my head in a 500-degree oven, that's okay because it's a dry heat. Yeah, the places that need shade don't have them. But where I live in the North Country, I live in the Massachusetts area, the greater Massachusetts area. New England, we call it. It's not England. It's not old England. It's the new one. We drive north and we watch the leaves change color. It's just something we do. It's on surface, it sounds incredibly boring. What are you going to be doing this weekend? I'm going to sit in a chair and watch the leaves turn color. Oh, okay. Have a nice life, bozo. They don't change color that fast, unfortunately. So all you can do is just see them at a certain stage. But they don't change colors. It's not like fireworks. Like, ooh, ah. It's not like that. Another great activity. And here's the thing. They change colors. They're beautiful. You enjoy them. But then you have to get them out of your yard somehow. After they've fallen, they cover everything. And you have to get blisters on your fingers with the rake. Or you have to call somebody to do it, like for $5,000, remove your leaves. Oh, it's beautiful. Look at the leaves changing color. It's not that pretty once they fall, my friend. Then you got to bag the things and you can't get rid of them. And it's, oh my God, oh God. Leaves are fun, then they're not. Another thing we do during the fall or autumnal season, something else very, very entertaining, very entertaining. My wife wants me to do this, but I've never done it. We get in the car. Yeah, the leaves are changing. That's pretty. We get in the car and we drive to an apple orchard. What do they have there? Apples. At first, it's really an incredible thing. Within about 2 minutes, it's awful. We're going to go pick apples. Okay, let me get this straight here. We're going to drive all the way to this location, eat up a lot of gas. Then we're going to get there. We're going to get out and walk on our feet. And then we're going to pick apples and put them in a bag and pay for them. Yes, that will be fun, won't it? No, because are you aware that if you walk into a supermarket, they have apples already picked? You don't have to drive all the way up there and pick the apples. Oh, but Ron, that's not fun. Oh, and driving to an orchard is? Well, when you pick your own apples, you see, in the orchard, you pick the best ones. Oh, okay. So when I go to a supermarket and I see all the apples, I can't pick the best ones there. I just have to take the ones on top. No, I guess you're right, Ron. Of course I'm right. What a waste of time that is. Come on, man. Stupid. I mean, if I want to have fish for dinner, I don't rent a boat and go out into the ocean and catch a halibut or a flounder or something. I buy it in the supermarket and I eat it. It saves me a lot of trouble. I don't have to have the fishing pole. I don't have to clean the fish. It's cleaned for me. They'll gut it. They'll take the little head off. And they'll take the bones out, and it's a filet, and I can eat it, and it's wonderful. Yeah, but we're going to have a good time. We're going to go catch our own fish. Oh, God, there's something wrong with you. You didn't read the manual. It says you don't have to do that anymore. A couple of my neighbors have fire pits. I didn't know what that was at first. I thought, I didn't know what it was. Then I was invited over at one point. By the way, once I'm invited somewhere, I never get invited there again. It's a one-time situation. So I got invited over. It was a couples thing. You can't go places without somebody else. Everything's a couples thing now. So we're going there, and I walk into their backyard, and they have this stone circular thing. It's a barbecue pit with no barbecue, and there's this little fire going, and everybody's sitting around the fire with a glass of wine. And I thought, well, can't you sit around with a glass of wine without a fire in front of you? Is this an important thing? It's a thing. It's a thing to sit around a fire. What am I, a Boy Scout? What am I, 8 years old, going to sleepaway camp? What is this? What am I doing? Why am I sitting in front of a fire? You know, people's homes burn down with the same situation. I think it's a little disrespectful. Can you imagine sitting around a campfire or a fire pit? And hey, Joe, God, I heard the news. Yeah, my house burned down. We had a space heater and it knocked over and it didn't turn off and the whole house burned down. Wow, that's awful. Why are you sitting around a fire pit? Isn't that a little, like, odd now? Yeah, I guess it is, come to think of it. Unless you're roasting marshmallows, and nobody should do that, by the way. You're taking sugar, a sugar puff, putting it at the end of a dirty stick, and holding it over the fire until carbon forms, and then you're putting the carbon in your mouth, which will certainly burn the skin off of the roof of your... I mean, it's just stupid. I remember when I went to sleepaway camp. It's such an odd name for the thing, isn't it? I'm going to camp. What are you going to do there? I'm going to sleep away. I'm going to sleep away from you. Actually, you don't sleep away. You sleep with other people, and it's you sleep with other children. It's a little wrong. It's just a little bit wrong. Anyway, we would sit around and roast marshmallows, and I always thought at that point that this is an odd pagan ritual. I don't know what we're doing here. Are we trying to raise the devil? I don't understand what we're doing here, sitting around a campfire, singing Kumbaya, whatever that means. I think Kumbaya in Latin means without pants. I think that's what it means. Anyway, I'm sitting around the fire pit. And after about, I'd say about an hour, I go home because I can't take it no more. It's not the fire pit that's bothering me as much as the people sitting around it. So I get up and I realize the back of my body is freezing cold because it's cold outside, but my face is like beet red hot. Fire pits are weird. They warm up only part of your body, the part that's facing the fire pit. It's just so stupid. And when I see people sitting around a fire pit, I question their mental capacity. Anyway, of course, this is my job to take an event and to turn it into mush. That's what I do. That's what I do. I'm the sarcastic son of a bitch that you invite to your home only once. Only once. Thinking that the invitation is a good idea and then realizing that was a bad idea. Don't invite him over anymore. That's a bad idea. Works to my advantage, actually. Yeah, so we're into the fall season. I got to rake leaves. I got to eat apples and pick apples. Did you ever go to a supermarket? That's not the end of the sentence. Hold on. Did you ever go to a supermarket and you go to the vegetable and the fruit section? I think you call it the produce. Actually, sometimes we pronounce the word produce. Sometimes we pronounce it produce. If you're watching a motion picture, they were producers, not producers. We take the same word, different meaning, we just say it differently. Can't you come up with a different word? No, we'll just pronounce it differently, that's all. Okay, all right. And I do the same thing. I like zucchini, which is a green squash. I like it, it's a great green vegetable, fantastic. But what we do is we don't just grab a zucchini. We have to touch all of them first to see which one is cleaner, plumper. We have to inspect them for cleanliness and edibility. We do it with tomatoes. We do it with avocados. How many people have squeezed your avocado before you brought it home? Come on, that's disgusting. Thousands of people have squeezed that avocado to see if it was ripe or not. There's no way to tell. You have to squeeze the son of a bitch. That's why I don't eat avocados. I know you don't eat the skin, but at the same time, how many people with COVID have touched that thing? Or monkeypox, even worse. I don't know which is worse. It's just different. Yeah, squeezing fruit. Melons. Oh, wow. You see a lot of teenagers squeezing melons because it's good practice. It's good practice for later on. I don't know what I'm squeezing, to be honest with you. I'm not too sure what I'm squeezing. I know it's a melon, but I'm not too sure. Is that too soft? I know when it's too hard, it's not great. When it's too soft, it's gone bad. I don't know what just right is anymore. So I squeeze everything in sight, including some of the female shoppers. And that is frowned upon. I learned a while ago. You can squeeze your fruit. You can't squeeze the people that are squeezing the fruit. Why don't we choose our women? That sounded awful. Why don't we choose our women by squeezing them as well? I think in some countries they do. If I'm going to squeeze a melon to see if it's ripe or an avocado, if I'm interested in a woman, I should squeeze her first to see if she's ripe. You know why that doesn't work? It doesn't matter if she's ripe or not. It doesn't really matter. It does. The fact that there's a melon involved at all is good enough for everybody. Do you find this topic to be quite uncomfortable, like I do? Anyway, we have an interesting guest coming up shortly, which I'm sure will help you in your quest for knowledge somehow. I don't know. Mondays always throw me off. Last Monday was Labor Day. That screwed up my entire week because I was one day off on everything. The garbage truck, what do you call that thing? You don't call it a garbage truck, do you? The trash collector? Well, I don't know what you call that. Came by a day late because when Monday's a holiday, your trash collection is off by a day. Somebody at the end probably loses out as far as, hey, I got collected on Friday. They didn't collect my trash. No, because they were collected on Saturday and we don't work Saturday. Oh, what? What? So that threw me off completely. I didn't know what day of the week it was because of the trash collection day was moved. Months later, I'm still not, it's like jet lag to me. Months later, I don't know what day it is. Is this Wednesday? No, there was a holiday like 3 weeks ago and that threw you off. Yeah, it does. I don't know what day of the week this is. I've missed every appointment by a day for some reason. Did you like that little theatrical portrayal that I did? I took my voice and I twisted it to sound like somebody else's voice, although you still knew it was me because I'm the only person here. That was a theatrical movement is what I did. I actually took an acting class when I was in college because it was required. The subject that why I went to college. I went for film and television. That was my major. New York University, that's what they teach. Film and television. I mean, it was a thing. It still is. One of them, you had to take an acting class. So I did, and I contorted my voice accordingly. That was the result of my acting class. I don't know if I ever told you this, but in my television and film class, I sat three people away from Sybil Shepherd. She was in my class. We're apparently the same age. I didn't know that, but apparently we are. So I'm sitting there. This is true. It was an amphitheater kind of classroom. There were probably about 50, 60 seats in there. And then there was a professor who probably wasn't a real professor, stood in the front of the class and just talked a lot and people didn't really listen. This was before cell phones, so there wasn't much to do but imagine things. I wonder where I'm going to get the money to pay for my college education. You had plenty of time to think about that. So I'm sitting there and people are coming into the classroom and I'm sitting in a seat there. And all of a sudden, this woman walks in, quite attractive, surrounded by another woman and another guy. And they walk in and they sit like three seats away from me. And it's Sybil Shepherd. I mean, she was already fairly popular. We all knew who she was. Everybody turned around when she came into the classroom. And I said to myself, why are you here? She was actually more of a model at that point, kind of. And I think she wanted to be more of an actress. But she was my age, so we were both college age, and that's, you know, she's going to college. I never talked to her. She never talked to me. We never gazed in each other's direction and fell in love. No violins were playing, we didn't go apple picking, nothing like that. She just happened to have been in my acting class. And wouldn't it have been amazing if we actually met and she would have become my wife? Ew, ugh. I don't want to be married to a celebrity. I think that'd be awful. I just do. I've watched a lot of movies where the protagonists, you know what that word means? The protagonists kiss, or there's a sex scene, or a make-out romance scene, and they're just two actors. They don't know each other. They're not married. They're not dating. Yet they're having this passionate make-out session on film. It's bad enough that you're having a make-out session with somebody, but it's being taped. It's being filmed. It's like, whoa, this could end up on the internet. We didn't have internet then. This could end up in the movies. Yeah, well, that was the idea. That's what you want. But how can you have a passionate love scene with somebody that you don't even know or smells like garlic? Oh my God. And how can you be married to somebody like that who has physically kissed and touched other people in inappropriate places? And their response is, well, I was only acting. We weren't really making out. We were kissing, but it didn't mean anything because we were only acting. Oh, you're only acting. Okay, that's fine then. No, I could never tolerate that. I could not do that, and I don't think you could either. This menage a trois thing, have you heard about that? Oh my God, I think it's celery, carrots, and onions. That's something else. Menage a trois, three people get together. Two women, a man, two men, and a woman, three women, three men. I don't know. There's three of you. And two of them are married, and it's like, okay, because they like to, they have an open marriage. What do you mean by that? Nobody's getting jealous ever? I think you're supposed to be a little jealous, aren't you? But I guess you're not supposed to show. I don't know how that works. I'm not part of that game, but I know it's a thing. I know it happens. It's just kind of odd to me. At one point in my life, quite a few decades ago, I realized that I'm not like everybody else, and everybody else is not like me, and they're not supposed to be. People have vastly different political views, vastly different lifestyles, vastly different baggage, vastly different childhoods. People, don't try to understand somebody else, because you can't, because you didn't go through what they went through or are going through. So I gave up trying to understand people, because you can't. Even your spouse, that would be a marriage thing, even your spouse, you can't understand what's going on in their head. I don't care how long you've been married, because you didn't go through their childhood. You didn't go through their experiences. You don't know how they're wired upstairs. Are we all different? No, not all of us. But we're all different from other people. Sure we are. Some people live in the north. Some people live in the south. That alone is a big difference. Some people like salt. Some people can't eat salt and don't like it. We're all different. So when I complain about things, I do it with love. I realize that I'm complaining simply because I don't understand it. If you hook on to my train, then fine. But I don't expect you to feel the same way I do about things, because we're all different. You're not in my shoes. I don't think you'd fit my shoes. I'm an 11 and a half, sometimes a 12. Most of you, those shoes would be way too big. Yes, my shoes are too big for you. It's out of your pay grade. I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes. I don't think I could fit in them. If you're a woman, I wouldn't wear your heels. I know some people do. Some men are into that. I'm not. I'm just saying. My guest joins us momentarily, but until that time arrives, we're going to take a short little break, if you don't mind. Hey, here's an interesting restaurant. It's in the area. I go there every once in a while. They're having a special. Oh, my God.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta Lamusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Lanusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paduca.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajol.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Klein.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Tallulah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta. Ah, Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Michael Fisher is Chief Officer of VHA's Readjustment Counseling Service, joining us today to make sure that all vets know where they can go for any type of help or counseling or anything like that. Thanks for being with us here, Michael. Let me ask you right off the top, would a veteran not necessarily know what's available to him or her?
That is possible. And we're here to talk about vet centers. Mm-hmm. We are a counseling, our community-based counseling centers in VA that connects with eligible veterans, active duty service members, mm-hmm. and provides a wide range of counseling services for them. What makes us unique is that while we are part of VA, we're actually not connected or we're not located at VA medical centers. We're out in the community, oh. such as, you know, Boston, Brockton, or other communities in New England. And we're really designed to create that safe place to begin that transition from the military.
Hmm. Is a veteran told of this situation? Is this a newer concept?
We were actually created in 1979.
Oh, so no.
I think what you just touched on is that this need for us to go out and make everyone aware of what's available to them. And it's not just veterans. It's active duty service members as well as their families.
Ah, okay. The family part is very interesting because families go through just as much as the veteran does, unfortunately, sometimes even more.
You know, I agree. In the counseling services that we provide, which is individual, group, marriage, family counseling, as well as community partnership, our real focus is helping that veteran, that service member, set a goal and then create a support structure around themselves to accomplish that. That could be a family, it could be other veterans or service members. Once they accomplish that goal, it's identifying another goal, and it's this lifelong process of doing that over and over mm-hmm. again.
When I think of the VA, I think of medical assistance for those that have had injuries, that kind of trauma. I don't necessarily think of the psychological portion of it or the readjustment back into society. Is that where the vet center actually excels?
It is. And like we said, it's individual, group, marriage, family counseling. Mm. Now, we have unique eligibility, and our eligibility is focused on certain veterans, active duty service members, and their families mm-hmm. for a full list of our eligibilities, which are really based on a service in a dangerous place or like a combat zone or an area of hostility or experiencing certain kinds of trauma like military sexual trauma or war trauma. Mm-hmm. But you can visit our website at vetcenter.va.gov to get a full list of our eligibilities as well as the other services that we provide.
Are the services available virtually as well, as we tended to get used to that during the pandemic? That was really our major mode of connection. Is that still available?
That is available. We provide virtual services. We're beginning to do more face-to-face services mm-hmm. now as we begin to reopen after COVID.
Yes. Very good. Now, our show emanates out of Massachusetts. You mentioned a couple of large cities, of course, in Massachusetts, but we're also national. So where would one get a list in their particular state and in their area?
I highly recommend that everyone goes to vetcenter.va.gov and has a full list of our locations across the country as well as the services that we provide.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Anything else we should know?
No, thank you for the opportunity, and any veterans and service members that are listening or family members, please visit our website and check out a vet center.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Pleasure, Michael. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow, whatever day of the week that happens to be. Until then, I wish you peace.